This is News in Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. On today's roundtable, we continue our month-long discussion about the art and business of black music. We turn now to the independents, record companies often headed by entrepreneurs looking to explore the creative form not always available with major music labels. With that freedom, indie labels also face unique challenges when trying to support and expose their artists to the public. Here to talk about the business and the creative side of the independent music labels are El Producto, founder and musical director of the hip-hop label Definitive Jux Records, and Randy Chin, co-president of VP, a reggae and dancehall record company. They join us from New York. And in our Los Angeles studio, Roger Patton, general manager of the R&B and neo-soul label Hidden Beach Records. Gentlemen, I thank you very much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, yeah.
Let me ask you what obviously is the easy question, Roger, and let me start with you. Why the need for an independent label?
Well, I think when you look at the major labels, not to bash major labels, but I believe there has become over time, especially in the urban music business, somewhat of a sameness. And you get that kind of sameness when you have a lot of the label executives trying to kind of make hit records as opposed to really helping nurture artists' careers. And you need to have that one label or the few labels out there that can actually take the time to nurture artists' careers and also bring different voices to the marketplace. And a place like Hidden Beach was created to kind of be that haven for artists who are trying to do something different.
Randy, do you find that to be the case? Obviously, reggae has seen, particularly over the course of the last 20 years or so in this country, a market for itself. But certainly in the early days of reggae, that was the case. Is it easier as an independent to push through some of these records where you would still find, I would suspect, resistance by some major labels?
It definitely has gotten easier, especially in the last few years with the success of Sean Paul and Elephant Man and some of the other acts that we've been working with. But, you know, it's always very challenging. And as Roger said, I think, the mode at the major is to make hits and make big hits. And a lot of times they simply don't have the time to develop the artists and nurture the artists over a long period of time.
El Producto, let me turn to you and suggest that you, like people before you, i.e. Berry Gordy or Kenny Gamble and Leon Huff, understand the music business from the artist side, because you were that prior to becoming a suit, as they say. So yeah. That being said, is it easy for you to understand, perhaps more than just an entrepreneur or an executive, what is needed and, more importantly, what you would not get from a major?
Definitely. I mean, just to clarify, I still don't wear a suit. But
well, with the name El Producto, somehow I guess that, brother. But go ahead.
Yeah, but no, the connection that I have to it, yeah, is very much from that perspective. It's simply we don't apply to what these gentlemen were talking about, which is the major label sort of spectrum of making money. That is a very limiting reality, and there's a lot of room in between for businesses that are centered around creative, enterprises to tap into markets because of the very fact that the music itself expresses itself in a different way.
Randy, let me ask you this as relates to the bottom line, though. Indie, major label or not, part of the process is the business side of it and the bottom line of making money. How do you marry the two, and what can you do that's different and independent of what a major label will do by virtue of allowing and giving artists a little more?
Well, I mean, it definitely is a very delicate balance. And, at the end of the day, you're in business. So if you're not profitable, you're not going to be in business for a long time. I think, as an independent, because you probably don't have, major label dollar resources behind you, you have to do things smarter. I mean, you have to know the marketplace inside out. So when you're going to market with a particular product and you put the hammer down on a release that you really want to go after, you need to be pretty damn sure that this thing is going to happen and going to work.
Roger, obviously easy to do this, but as we just heard from Randy, is it important when starting an indie to know that there is a niche market for it? I mean, there's no reason, I would guess, to try to reinvent what the major labels are doing correctly.
No, exactly. No, you need to find what your niche is going to be and find the best way to hit that target marketplace. When we listen to a project, it may not be something that the majors are playing, but we all sit around and say, well, you know, if we like it, let's find that other 10, 20, 30,000 folks, 40,000, 50,000, however many it may be, who are also going to like that project. And I think one of the problems that the major labels have had is that they presume you're going to have success, and then they end up spending the money as if the success is guaranteed on every project, where you're spending $1 million to $2 million per project. But when you do that and the artist doesn't hit 500,000 units or more, you're eliminating that artist's shot at actually getting a second record and having a career. We go into it thinking, okay, how do we sell a certain amount of units and, you know, spend the required amount of money for it to make business sense, so that if we don't sell 100,000 units, 200,000 units, how do we give that artist a career still? How do we go after the first, second, and third single? And you also call in favors. You don't spend the kind of money that the major labels spend, but as Randy said, you have to be more creative.
Now, let me ask you this. We have seen, particularly in the hip-hop genre, artists that have said early on, even before associating themselves with any kind of label, that I know my stuff is good and I'm going to sell it out of, you know, the back of my car, on the corner. You can't walk down the street in Los Angeles or New York, particularly if you're known in the entertainment industry, without somebody handing you their CD and letting you know that they're the next best thing. How much do you believe that this kind of belief has helped the independent along the way?
I think that that kind of belief is the cornerstone of the philosophy behind independent music in general. I think that everybody who involves themselves from an artistic perspective and then ultimately in a business perspective comes directly from that idea. The idea that what they're doing is so important to them that they're going to involve themselves so directly in it that it's going to become more than just them as an artist. Anybody who owns an independent label at some point had the epiphany that there was money to be made doing the thing that you like doing, and all it took was research and an understanding of what you were involved in. And I think I speak for everybody involved in this type of venture, that that's exactly where we come from.
Let me go to each one of you with this question, and I'll tweak it as it relates to you specifically. And Elle, let me stay with you.
Okay.
In relation to your early years as a performer, you were part of the group Company Flow, and you saw a lot of street buzz over the course of your debut with that group, and much of what you did selling underground 100,000 plus units, and that's a whole lot, people should know, for an underground for an underground record. I mean, that really is huge. When you saw that, was that the impetus of you saying, hey, there's something here for me?
No, I was saying that before we sold 100,000. I was saying that when we sold 30,000 out of our backpacks. We were working on music, and we just realized, you know, we were students of the game, you know. And I also was interning with a lawyer called William Krasilowski, who wrote This Business of Music, and he was helping me get out of a bum contract, and he sort of opened my mind up to some ideas. And to be honest, when I decided that there was something there was when I got the first check. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm getting paid directly. This is kind of fun, you know? Mm. And all of a sudden, my desire to kowtow or to audition for other people started to evaporate.
Before we get to some of the music, Roger, let me go back to you. And I've known the founder of Hidden Beach, Steve McKeever, for some time. You guys really have, in particular, Jill Scott, met with some tremendous success. We think about Mike Phillips, the saxophonist, and Kindred, who had a top-selling CD about a year and a half ago. With that being said, when you meet a phenomenon like Jill Scott and an indie, where do you concern yourself with the idea that now, with that kind of success, you really have to look at whether, as an independent, you can do justice to someone this popular?
Oh, well, I don't think we look at it really as a problem. I think we look at it as making sure that we don't stray too far from what got us to that point. Mm-hmm. The Jill Scott phenomenon was really people telling each other, like, you got to hear this record. And for us, it's kind of maintaining that same level of keeping the music fantastic and just keeping up what we do best.
That being said, Hidden Beach has found another one that from all that I understand is going to have a whole lot of word of mouth, and I'm sure Roger hopes those same ringing cash registers that Jill Scott has brought. And this young lady's name is Lena, and we're going to take a listen to Smooth.
It's heavy on my mind, love we made. See, I've been struggling with this a long time, day after day. The fact that I love you, but sometimes I just want to be through with you. Baby, you're the sun that chases all the rain away.
So, Roger, let me ask you, as we listen to that, is there a particular sound that Hidden Beach wants to be known for? And if so, is, in fact, Lena that sound?
Well, to the extent that it's really good music that's passionate, that's the sound we want to be known for. So we have a very eclectic roster, actually, from Jill Scott to Kindred to even John Densmore, the founder of The Doors, who's going to be, you know, his dream was to put out a jazz CD. And so Hidden Beach is kind of set up to be that place where great musicians who are passionate about what they do get an opportunity to explore what it is they want to do. Even Darius Rucker from Hootie and the Blowfish, you know, he grew up listening to Al Green and Led Zeppelin and wanted to tap into that soulful side of himself and put out an R&B album. And we were the home for him to do that.
El Producto, let me turn to you and talk about and ask you why this particular group, and then we'll hear their music, The Perceptionist, and tune entitled Black Dialogue. What struck you about this?
Well, I've been working with Liff for years now. Mr. Liff is the sort of one who put this group together. It consists of him and Acrobatic and DJ Fax One. Basically just three individuals that have been doing their own thing in the underground hip-hop scene, all from Boston for years that I've known. But the reason that these guys are incredible is they give an incredible live show. And that's like one of the biggest, most serious aspects of promotion that we have at our disposal. Being able to perform and really taking it seriously is something also that seems to set independent labels apart.
Let's take a quick listen to Black Dialogue.
Let me tell you about my nowadays, acting like slaves because it pays many ways. A, to get the B, to get the car, see the jewels around the neck, but they demise isn't far-fetched. Step with that Uncle Tom, pawn action, and my TV's always off, cause I see something truly black then. Oh, got a call from Brother Malcolm, awaken from the grave, he's asking what the f*** happened. I said these f***s all want homes in the Hamptons, it's a minstrel show, so they do what white man asked them. Throwing money at the screen that other brothers ain't catching. Yes, hell is frozen over, rest in peace, thanks for asking. We'd rather teach each other how to fire chrome than to buy a home. There's power in the land that we own. You need capital to start to win in capitalism. Take the money from the sales and buy some places for living. Rather black landlords and white chalk on the floor. Our mentality's the casualty is keeping us poor. And the poor teach their kids how to work. Rich teach their kids how to invest. Hence we're dying from stress. And the rhythm of the drum shines its own sun. My father said, son, think a brighter day is ever gonna come. I said, pops, rock a beatbox. And I'ma empty out my mind cause I'm around till I drop.
All right, Randy, not to be outdone or left out, okay. You brought some music for us too. And that's Barris Hammond there for you. Let's take a listen and we'll hear what you think about it.
Yes. Story of my life. I'll be there for you, yes, when you want me to.
We should notice we listen to that, you know, the hits that you've had with Wayne Wonder, and you think, obviously, whenever you hear that beat, everyone goes, in America at least, to Bob Marley. When you talk about summertime music, this is the kind of music a lot of Americans like to throw in either the iPod nowadays or the CD as they drive along.
Summer is time for reggae. I mean, as the temperature heats up, you know, those CDs go popping into your car, and that's what you hear. You know, with Beres, he's been around for a long time, you know, on the reggae scene, and he's one of the most popular, you know, singers on the reggae scene right now. Beres is incredible. I mean, a great live show also. Very much into live music, actually, real instruments versus, you know, the digital stuff that you hear sometimes.
Well, as we celebrate June and Black Music Month, we want to thank our guest, El Producto, founder and musical director of the hip-hop label Definitive Jux Records, Randy Chin, co-president of VP, a reggae and dancehall record company, and from Los Angeles, Roger Patton, general manager of Hidden Beach Records. Gentlemen, thank you all. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you, Randy.
All right, fellas. Thank you.
You can learn more about our music roundtables and listen to the music on our website at npr.org.